Chapter 1. Destination Cowtip Island.
Shivra, huh? That's an interesting name.
Xaxa was etching the name into his skull.
I want to hear everything about this guy's Nen, okay? So live long enough to see it.
Liban wasn't looking out for anyone. He just thought it would be a waste for Xaxa to die on Cowtip Island over something like this. Xaxa did nothing but smile. His whole life was now being spent finding and observing other people's Nen in action. That is actually what drew him to Liban. When he heard of a Nen designer, he had to see the ability for himself. Of course, then he figured it would be best to stick around him to see more Hatsus being created. Liban, on the other hand, was interested in what he saw as competition. His business revolved around creating Hatsus for others, and on the off-seasons, lending the money he received at exorbitant interest rates for high profits. It was for this reason that Xaxa was wary of trusting him and didn't employ Liban's ability for his own gain. The two did come to a relationship of sorts. Liban's vast information network meant he could hear about all kinds of Nen users and then relay the information to Xaxa to investigate them and share the findings with Liban, who'd rather not leave his manor if he could.
Before you go...
The tone of Liban's voice was almost startled, as if he just received word.
What is it now?
Some people I know are in Cowtip.
He handed Xaxa a sheet of paper. Cowtip Island is notorious for its stormy waters. This in turn makes scheduling for boats a cluttered mess of everyone rushing to the island simultaneously when the waters are calm enough. Of course, it is rare that in these instances you could truly call the surrounding waters calm. On one such vessel, many were paying for passage on a fishing boat. The captain was not a person who cared for people, but he was, for lack of better words, a person who cared for money. Cowtip Island is home to the migration routes of many exquisite fish. The harder it is to catch, the more expensive they can sell it. It was always worth the trip for him to make it to Cowtip during the short spans of time when there were no storms. Of course, he also enjoyed putting his passengers to work. Up top, waiting impatiently for the next instruction from the captain, was an experienced handyman.
Maxwell, was it?
Yes.
I can feel you staring a hole in my back. What do you want?
If you've got any work for me, I'll...
Why don't you go below? I'll let you know when you all need to get your asses back up here.
The one thing the captain did enjoy about strangers was commanding them.
If you need someone to do radio maintenance, let me know, not those other guys down there.
I don't have a radio. Get down below now so I can enjoy the sea a bit.
Maxwell Clerk was skilled in electronics in particular. He was proud of his intimate knowledge of circuitry and personally enjoyed tinkering with electricity in general. This, combined with his seeking work, meant he leapt at any apparent opportunity to satisfy all of his cravings at once. On this boat, it seems as though none of his cravings would be quenched at all. He wasn't too sure which to be more concerned about, his boredom now that he learned he would not be able to entertain himself, or that the captain seemed against using the necessary equipment to navigate, even on such an infamously stormy sea. Maxwell headed below.
You want something to do? How about you give me a massage?
There was a playful annoyance in his voice. Maxwell looked over at a man slumped down with a large weapon in his hand. He strolled past and took a seat against the wall further away from him than he originally planned.
Oh, did I scare you off? Pity, really. I hear giving me a massage is quite a fulfilling pastime.
The slumped man leaned back as if attempting to sleep.
Sorry, that's not the kind of work I'm looking for. Not exactly.
You mean fulfilling work? So you're looking for some kind of job that will satisfy your masochistic tendencies?
There was only silence as Maxwell attempted to sleep. The slumped man looked disappointed that he could no longer pester him. He glanced around the room and then gripped his man-catcher to help readjust himself. Virgil was a man of many pleasures, and one of them happened to be controlling a conversation through his wit, usually for a laugh to himself, though he rarely laughed at his own verbal gymnastics. Scanning the rest of the underbelly of the boat, he noticed a young girl asleep near the back, who left him uninterested. It was when he looked across the room and saw a woman leaning against the wall, staring back at him, studying him, that he was finally satisfied.
What's your name there?
Virgil's tone was more charismatic than before.
Shut up.
She immediately replied calmly.
Well, you guys are no fun.
He went back to his attempt at sleeping. The woman analyzed each other body in the room. She asked herself, who here has the potential for true fear? Disappointment was the only thing that Anya felt when she realized that Virgil was someone whom fear might not even possess, and that Maxwell was content with an occupation, not an adventure. She glanced back over at the sleeping girl, laying on her side in the back of the room. A spark of potential flashed in Anya's eyes. Perhaps this girl would be easily frightened when she awoke. At least, Anya hoped as much. A bit further back in the sea, a passenger ferry was slowly trotting towards Cowtip Island. Compared to those on the fisherman's boat, this was a trip of luxury. Of course, by most standards, it was an average passenger experience. The drawback to this path of travel is that the ferry travels much slower. The main sitting area was only half filled. The ferry was more accustomed to overcrowding, but rarely anyone travels to and from Cowtip. The usual customers are businessmen heading to Cimeterium, but this trip was full of those answering the call for help on the Hunter's website. Undoubtedly, a few were here regarding the open invitation to killing a man named Shivra Nial. One man, however, was here for a different reason. A private detective on the search for problems to solve. The man with his grizzled build was at a vending machine getting a can of coffee. The ferryman came down to check tickets, as an opportunity to find stowaways at higher prices with the threat of being dumped overboard. He came over to the man standing by the vending machine first. The ticket read Gorick Huntsman as the two silently passed the paper back and forth before nodding and heading back to their duties. Gorick's duty right now was to finish the coffee before he felt the need to sleep again, but when he'd arrive on the island, he was ready to take the first bus to Cimeterium to talk to the police. After a few other passengers, one stood up to give his ticket to the ferryman. He had a backpack, but didn't seem like he was carrying anything suspicious. Gorick was standing aside from the rest, finishing his coffee, while also people watching. The man looked over at Gorick and smirked a little.
"Here you go, Mr. Zero."
The ferryman handed the ticket back to the backpack-wearing man. Zero took back his ticket and proceeded to walk up the stairs on the side to the upper area of the ferry. Gorick followed behind him. He thought some fresh air would help the coffee go down. None of them had any idea of the stowaway in the cargo area of the hull, where a man and his dog were keeping careful watch for anyone that might find them.
"It's only a matter of time before we need to take another loan, sir."
The mayor of Cimeterium was not happy to hear this.
"If that happens, I can't guarantee your job, you know."
Knowing it was a threat of sorts, his assistant retorted,
"Then what do you propose we do?"
The comm buzzed on.
"Sir, the chief is here."
The mayor and his assistant ceased their conversation. They both already knew what the following talk would be about. In fact, they were expecting it for some time.
"Greetings, Mayor Gray."
"Chief, rather, it's always good to see you."
The assistant excused himself.
"Water?"
"No, thanks."
"Well, I have a feeling I know what you're here about, chief."
"I don't suppose it's any secret."
"The gambling, it's siphoning this city's wealth."
"I know. And that's not the half of it."
"No?"
"I've just heard that there is going to be a surge of people coming to the city, and I assume they will bring with them a dangerous element."
"Are you expecting a spike in crime rates?"
The mayor was not concerned about safety, but of public opinion of him, being a mayor amongst high crime in Cimeterium and historically low crime city.
"Potentially. But maybe we can use them as help. Regardless, I wanted to let you know that we have a lead on the gambling ring, and we could use some assistance in maybe keeping these out-of-towners off our backs. I swear, this couldn't have come at a worse time. Just when we finally think we have a shot, a whole mess gets sprung on us."
"I think I have an idea, Chief. I'll need to talk it over with my assistant first."
"Thank you for your time. I know how busy things have been lately here. I want to let you know, I'll be able to handle it."
"I never doubted you."
The two stood up, shook hands, and the mayor watched as the chief exited. Just as the chief stepped out of the door, he turned around and said one last thing.
Mr. Gray, I'd be careful right now. I hear that a lot of people may be coming because of a certain person that's already here. Someone high on our watch list right now. Supposedly dangerous."
"Thank you. I'll keep that in mind."
The mayor didn't care, but he smiled as the chief left. Immediately afterwards, the assistant came back in.
"I heard it all. Do you really have an idea?"
"Yes, in fact, I do. Offer a special deal to our biggest hotel, the construction program that utilizes our taxes."
"Yes?"
"Give it to them. Tell them they can remodel with the money. In fact, they may need to.
Okay, sir, I...
Tell the hotel to run a deal, a discount to any and all non-residents of Cowtop Island.
Got it.
That way, maybe we keep them all in one place and maybe drum up some tourist sales. The Cemeterium Grand Hotel is right near our restaurant district, correct? That should be perfect.
Will they agree to it, though?
The lease owner owes it to me, and he can put any pressure he wants on the hotel owners. Now let's make sure those buses get out to meet the ferry. We don't want to waste any time letting them make reservations, after all.
All right, you windbags, get up, lazy asses. We're here now, so get off my boat.
Virgil exited the boat with energy, while Maxwell followed onto the dock, still half asleep. The sleeping girl came out after them, but was stopped by Anya.
You have any plans of what to do now that you're here?
The girl turned around to face Anya.
I'm not really sure. I've never really done something like this before.
Anya's hunch turned out to yield good results for her.
I'll help you out. What's your name?
My name's Dahlia, Kurulkula, you?
She was rubbing the sleep out of her eyes.
I'm Anya, Anya Ali Hapla.
The two were shaking hands as a greeting, both smiling.
So, you enjoy the weather too, huh?
You sound suspicious of me. Did I do anything wrong?
Gorik was now on edge.
That smirk back there, what was that?
I like your nin.
The two were quiet. Gorik backed up with his hand ready to draw a weapon. Zero turned around, still smiling.
So, what now, Mr. Private Investigator Huntsman?